Hello. So this year is I'm substituting for Yitzhak Friedman. I'll start at one. Hello, so I'll begin soon. Hello, my name is David Rosen. I am the substituting for Yitzhak Friedman giving this year because Yitzhak Friedman is not available and he asked me to give this year in his place. I am dedicating this year for the Refuah Shleima of Yechezkel Simcha Ben Golda Devorim. Please, in the merit of this Torah learning, that it should be a chus, it should be a merit for the Refuah Shleima, and it should be zocha to the Refuah Shleima So this week's parsha is the parsha of Bahar, and this week's parsha we learn about the world of Shemitah. Shemitah is amazing rules. I wanted to read from some of the amazing comments of Rav Shimshon Lefavarish. I'll read some of it in his own language, but using my own ability to say it over using my own terms. The concluding verses of the preceding chapter teach us that Hashem is the source of all justice. The present chapter deals with the narrow sphere of agricultural law. It teaches us that the land of Israel, every man of Israel and his property are owned by God alone. And on the basis of this legal principle, it develops a code of agricultural, personal, and property law. Shvi, the seventh year, and Yovel, the 50th year, the redemption of the land, houses, servants, the laws of breathing, all these things talked about in this week's parsha, these are all logical outgrowths of one legal principle. Israel and its land belong to God, who has the sole legitimate claim to them. These mitzvot are introduced by the verse that Yidbar Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe on Har Sinai, saying, which Torah's Kohanim gives the following explanation. Why does the scripture make its point of telling us that the laws of Shemitah were given at the mountain of Sinai? Were not all the mitzvot too given at Sinai? It is to teach us that even as the laws of Shemitah were revealed at Sinai with all their general principles and their details, so all the other laws were revealed at Sinai with all their general principles and their details. The emphasis on the sea, on the origin of all the mitzvot from Har Sinai, not only of the laws, but also of their details, and the fact that it's stated in the Torah precisely here, precisely in conjunction with the laws of Shemitah, with the laws of the seventh year, may be explained on the basis of the fact that the previous parsha ended off with the story of a person who cursed God that person was stoned to death than the goddess. For precisely in the principle, the infection on the goddess, the one who cursed Hashem, we encounter the reverse case. At most, the general principle of the mitzvah was stated at Sinai. The Jews didn't know that story. The Jews didn't know what to do. This guy cursed Hashem. And they didn't know what the halacha was. They knew in general they were serving a punishment, but they didn't know the details. They didn't know what the death, what the punishment was, what his punishment was until Hashem had to speak again. And that was after Har Sinai. The details were not known at all. And when the case occurred, it was necessary to seek a special confirmation from God. And so then Hashem told them the answer that his punishment was with death. But they didn't know before that. It wasn't revealed in Har Sinai. The nature and subject of this mitzvah, and that's right before the Kodesh, the Shemitah, and where it's brought down in the famous Rashi, the famous Medrash, where it quoted that all the mitzvahs were given at Sinai. We have a case where there was this mitzvah that wasn't given at Har Sinai. This mitzvah of the punishment for the one who curses Hashem. That's so interesting. The transgression, the nature and the subject of this mitzvah are most remarkable, particularly when compared with Shemitah and his subject. The transgression discussed in the end of the previous parsha is the worst crime imaginable, cursing Hashem, and the subject of the crime is the only one who is independent of time and space. Who is this person, this cursor effector? Is affecting, cursing Hashem, president, the one who is present everywhere at all times, so that anyone can sin against him at any time and in any place. One might therefore have argued, if even a law such as this, one concerning blasphemy, cursing Hashem, was not revealed in its entirety at Sinai, but only when the need actually arose, how much more so should this be so in the case of Shemitah and the like. So you might think that all this situation in the previous case should be a general principle if those laws weren't revealed at Har Sinai, but they had to wait to Hashem to issue an extra clarification about the laws. All the more so, all the other laws that their details weren't given at Har Sinai. You might think that. Why would we think that in the case of Shemitah, these laws shouldn't be revealed at Har Sinai? After all, when the laws of Shemitah was first given, and for many years thereafter, Israel was not dwelling in its land. Thus, the very subject of the mitzvah did not exist yet. Later, too, the land would not be available for hundreds, perhaps even thousands of years. You would think, oh, they won't. Why would the details be given to the Yidden, to the Jews? They didn't even need to keep the mitzvah of Shemitah. There was no need to keep the mitzvah of Shemitah in the desert. It's only for the land of Israel. So it will be only logical that mitzvah, if it was given in Har, it was definitely given in Har Sinai, but it wasn't given in itself for. Why should one imagine that such a mitzvah was revealed in its entirety of Sinai, in its details and its general principles? The Torah therefore stresses, precisely in the section on Shemitah and Yovel, which follows the section on the goddess, the section on the one who curses Hashem, that although in the case of the goddess, one who curses Hashem, these instructions for the implementation of the law had to be brought from God when they were needed, the details of all the other mitzvahs, every other mitzvah, including those applicable only to specific times and places like Shemitah, were revealed in their entirety at Sinai. That what happened at the end of the previous parsha, that was the exception to the rule. But every other mitzvah, the exception to the rule was the law of one who curses Hashem. That was only given in its general form. It wasn't given in its specifics at Mount Sinai, and therefore they had to wait for a special divine communication or to figure out the punishment for one accursed Hashem. But every other mitzvah, as we say, immediately afterwards, Hashem spoke to Moshe on the mountain of Sinai, saying, like, why only here do we set that unusual way of mountain of Sinai? Usually Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Hashem spoke to Moshe on the mountain of Sinai. They explain that just like over here, it was all given over, just like by the mitzvah, just like by Shemitah, it was given over. The mitzvah was given over. It's come and tell us that the mitzvah Shemitah, all of its rules, all of its details were revealed at Mount Sinai, and all of its details. And it says, so too is why is it said by Shemitah? I say, just like by Shemitah, that hey, so too by all the other mitzvahs, all of given in all their details. And what was the mitzvah, the commandment of the Megadeh upon a curse of Hashem? That's the exception to the rule. Yeah. Okay. What remains to be explained?
Coming.
Thank you. What remains to be explained is why the prohibition of Birkat Hashem is different from other mitzvahs where detail was not revealed. Why was it that his detail wasn't revealed at Mount Sinai? And the prohibition itself is implied only by being included in the laws of Elohim Vo Tikalel. Why was it given in general form by Shin Kurt Hashem, but it wasn't given in detail? The reason for this stems apparently from the gravity of the offense. The Torah did not wish to mention the possibility that such a thing would be. The Torah did not wish to mention the possibility that such a thing would be done in Israel. And, as a matter of fact, it was committed only by one who characterized was influenced by Egyptian blood. That, as the Torah says, that it was the son of an Egyptian father. The daughter of a Jewish mother and an Egyptian father. The Torah didn't want to go into the details Hashem didn't want to go into the details of Moshe Rabbeinu, of the one in person of Hashem, was mentioned. All the 613 mitzvahs were mentioned in Har Sinai, but Hashem didn't want to go into the details of that particular mitzvah, as opposed to every single other mitzvah, because that's such a mitzvah, such a thing, cursing Hashem was unthinkable. You don't even want to mention the possibility of that happening. You don't even want to mention the possibility. It's sort of an unthinkable thing. Even for a Jew believes in Hashem, to curse Hashem. So we have this amazing mix of Shemitah. There's so much to say about it, and I'll just read a little bit over here. It's an amazing mitzvah over here. I hope everyone enjoyed this year. And Bezer Hashem, Shvitzchus, for Rafua Shleima, Avichazko, Simcha, and Golda Zavora, that he should have a quick and speedily Rafua Shleima, Tok Shar Chalei Israel. Have a good holidays, everyone, and good night.